There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay, absolutely. Fair enough.
And I am proud, and I'll tell you what.
We disagree.
I am proud to shut down the government for border security.
I shut them down. Right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile, the only damn show in the United States that would mix President Trump and Chuck D together. And I'm glad you're here. Phone number, digits 343-0106. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, website, all that kind of stuff. We'll tell you more about that coming up. Yeah, shutdown, showdown, they're calling it, just, I guess, for the purposes of alliteration out there, as the latest news here. I'm not going to ask completely surprised. This has been on the way here, right? President Trump escalating the shutdown threat over funding for the wall. Has a sit-down with Pelosi and Schumer, so the incoming head of the House, returning with her gigantic gavel, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck, I'm going to dig my heels in the ground, Schumer, in the Senate. President Trump said this during open session today. He said, if we don't have border security, we'll shut down the government. As you heard, here's a little bit more, a little back and forth between the president and Chuck Schumer as the cameras were rolling.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay, absolutely. Fair enough.
And I am proud, and I'll tell you what.
We disagree.
I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck, because the people of this country don't want criminals and people that have lots of problems and drugs pouring into our country. So I will take the mantle. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it.
Okay, so let me do a little side note here, too. Those that are still trying to do the review, and listen, one of them, exactly how a candidate Donald Trump ran such a successful campaign and became president, there's another reason why Trump won. That kind of, and listen, we can go ahead and you can pick holes in it and what all effects it will have and all these things, that's fine. But that kind of attitude is exactly why Trump won. If he's looking at his last chance here, and I don't know that's as much for Chuck Schumer as it is for other Republicans, meaning right now, lame duck scenario, right? You have Republicans still in control for a limited time only of the House of Representatives. They're not, if President Trump's agenda, if this wall agenda and other items, but wall agenda is going to get done, it has to get done now, right? It has to be done now before they close. Although I heard Mitch McConnell talk about they're not taking, what was it he's saying? They're not going to take holidays or something like that. Hey, give me a break. They take more time, even if they have, reduction. They get more of a break than any of us that are paying their salaries. Here's Mitch McConnell. Here it is. Here's that cut.
Unless we approach all this work in a highly collaborative, productive way and take real advantage of unanimous consent to expedite proceedings, it is virtually certain that the Senate will need to be in session between Christmas and New Year's in order to complete this work.
Okay. Oh, my gosh, if they have to go in for a day or two. So here it is. So this is down to the wire here for the president. It's for the Republicans. Like I said, that is not so much for Pelosi and Schumer. Of course it's for the cameras. It's President Trump. Of course it's for the cameras. So the cameras are rolling. At the same time, this is important to send a message for wayward Republicans, right? And listen, over time, I've been some of the wayward Republicans I'm a fan of, you know. But you look at a Rand Paul or somebody like that who sometimes is aligned strongly with the president. Sometimes he differs, but I think Rand Paul sticks, you know, to his core policies. Then you have like a floater back here of Lindsey Graham who comes and goes. But I think the messaging is out there that better get this done. Better get the funding done. Better get this rolling. So what happens next? And I think the ball is now in the court of the Republicans in the House. And we'll see how this goes. We'll talk about this more. Brendan Kirby is going to join us in just a little bit. We'll talk with him about it. Also, we'll take a quick look before we get to that at what's going on with Mobile City Council and the mayor as there's new information coming out. I've been watching the Twitter feed for those that are live down there and reporting on the proceedings here at the meeting. I would like to point out on the backdrop of this, and we'll get into some of the details on this when we come back. But on the backdrop of this, let me also point out that they're leaving on a retreat. Back to things we all don't do, right? I don't have time in our jobs yet, but the mayor and the city council, they're going on retreat. They're going up. I don't know if they're going to do the three-legged race, campfire songs, whatever they do on the retreat, but they're going to be together. And maybe hashing this out, but hashing this out on the backdrop of one lawsuit already filed by Mayor Stimson, discussion of this other lawsuit coming back from members of the city council, and city council saying, well, you know what, we can't, we don't know that the mayor's office has the right to use over, I think it was $7,500 to file this lawsuit. So yeah, I'll tell you what, let's run quickly. We're going to run. Here's a cut the other day. This was released on the Twitter feed of Mayor Stimson late last week and his reasoning behind filing this lawsuit.
As your mayor, it is my responsibility to lead the executive branch of city government and to actually run the city. In recent weeks, there's been confusion that has been created about the powers that reside with the city council and that reside with the mayor's office. Actually, there's a fundamental difference of opinion in the interpretation of the law. Therefore, we have taken action and gone to the court system, hoping that they will resolve this issue. Our hope is that it will be resolved amicably and it will be resolved expeditiously. To have the confusion that's been going on as in recent weeks, it's costly, unwieldy, and a waste of taxpayers' dollars. There's a tremendous amount of momentum in the city of Mobile right now, and we feel like that resolving this issue will only increase that momentum.
Okay, so we met Chuck D on the way in, Chuck D on the way out. Local, national politics, your calls, our guests. That's how we roll. Tuesday on Midday Mobile. Glad you're here. Coming right back. I shut them down. I shut them down. I shut them down. I shut them down.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:18, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. You know that sign I just gave you for mic 2?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's also the Cub Scout sign. It's not the Boy Scout sign. It's one short of the Boy Scout sign. We had Cub Scouts last night. You put that sign up to get everybody quiet. And one of the things that happened last night, just a side note, and we will delve into this over the next few weeks. I may even do some kind of video blogging about my ridiculousness. At least I realize I have a problem. Because handed out last night, Pinewood Derby cars.
Really?
And if you wanted to gauge excitement between my son and myself, I think the seesaw sits on my side. He's still into it. We're talking about all the things we could do. I spent a good bit, and I was had a pretty good car back in the day, 40 years ago, four decades ago. Had a pretty good car here in the league. Got trophy to show for.
Ooh,
but,
wow.
But I got, yeah, but it was not all my doing. My dad, who's an aeronautical engineer, helped me. I was his
Well, he's an aeronautical engineer. That doesn't mean he's good at...
He isn't.
Making cars.
You gotta see this. I can still put this car on the track. There's a dad league. Still put on this. Put this track on the car. Win some pink slips here. I'm sure from some folks.
Yeah, it's like a second grade science project. It's whose parents are actually the best at making the project.
Well, they told us last night that they said, "Dads, you have your own division." So
that's smart.
Deal with that on your own. So I went home and watched about an hour and a half of YouTube videos. I now have to get. By the way, if you're out there, if you have, I need some. I need a little bit of lead smelting equipment, and my buddies that do fishing weights can probably help me with that. I need to get a drill press, which I do not have.
Uh-huh.
Although my friends that are gunsmiths or anybody out there got a drill press, I need a drill press. I also have to get a bunch of calibration equipment and all that to work on this, you know, Cub Scout project. So I will video blog this for the next few weeks and let you know about my. Yeah, by ridiculousness.
Once you're done, you're going to need a bench to slide under that car, too, it sounds like. It's going to be a nice enough car that you can get underneath and work on it.
Well, we're going to have to build a little rack for it to go up on. Okay, one more tell. I did also look on how to construct Pinewood Derby test tracks
last night.
So I may be over the weekend building a test track so I can do the time trials in my garage.
I think we could find somebody with a wind tunnel, too, just to make sure that it holds up to all elements.
May or may not. Car I told you that was the big winner in town all those 40 years ago may or may not have gone through a wind tunnel down at a big aircraft engine manufacturing plant here in Mobile.
That
there
is
you go.
I
won't
awesome.
Get any more narrow than that existed back in the 70s, early 80s. All right. A couple things here. Talking about the president and saying, hey, he'll shut it down. He doesn't care. I think that is when President Trump's at his best. Whether that ends up being what happens or not happens, that is the essence of what had people coming out to the polling places and voting for Trump.
Yeah, I think so. Because most of the time when us normal humans hear all this hogwash going on up in Washington, that's our first thought is, I don't care. Just get done what we need to get done to keep this country moving.
That's right. But Pelosi reacting to this, of course, in Pelosi-like fashion.
I think American people recognize that we must keep government open, that a shutdown is not worth anything, and that you should not have a Trump shutdown.
A Trump shutdown. Suka, a Trump down? a shut Trump? I don't know. So a Trump shutdown, says Pelosi here. You know, I would say this audience, I could probably gauge it'd be about 70-30 to shut it down.
I'd say so.
With this audience. Nationally, I don't know. I don't know that. I don't know how close it would be to 50-50. And one of the jokes about government shutdowns have been in the past that it's only for non-essential employees.
It's almost like government gets back to the way government should have been.
That's right. You wonder when they go, hey, we're going to shut it down except for essential personnel. So you're saying that all the other people are non-essential.
Yeah.
Now, I don't believe me. I know there are enough components in government. I don't think that's a very myopic view. Mm-hmm. And I think you're, you know, as silly as you are coming at it and saying there's no reason for government to do anything but get bigger, I think that's a ridiculous statement to say that there's, you know, anybody who wouldn't show up to work through a shutdown is not of value to the American people. I'll disagree with that as well.
Yeah, and I think the more shutdowns we go through, because how many times has the government been shut down in the last decade alone? At least a few times, right?
Oh, more than that, yeah.
So it's like, you know, when you step up to plate for the first time and they tell you to take the baseball, take one for the team,
mm-hmm.
you get hit once or twice, you start to figure out that it's not that bad, except this is actually like a Nerf ball hitting you, because we've all been through government shutdowns and not much has changed through those. So I don't think it really scares very many people to hear that.
All right, government shutdowns, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I thought there were more than that. Maybe there's just
a lot of threats.
Oh, a lot of threats. Okay, 1980, one-day shutdown. 1981, 1984, 1986, 1990, 1995, 1996. I think that one is actually just one because I think it stretched from December to January. 2013,
mm-hmm.
2018. So there you go. There's a history of some of the shutdowns.
So it's not very scary. If this was the first ever government shutdown that they were talking about, maybe.
But we've already been hit
be
with that
edge.
Ball. Is what you're saying?
Right.
We
already know what it feels like to go through this, and I don't think many Americans' lives changed in the past shutdowns.
All right. Coming up, we'll talk about a couple of the tweets. I don't have the full story coming from Mobile City Council yet, but I'll read you what they're tweeting. The reporters that are there, as the council and the mayor are in a lawsuit at the same time they're getting ready to leave to go on a retreat to do three-legged race and whatever else.
Yeah,
they
I
do.
Still like your idea. The get along shirt. Put them in the same T-shirt. Mm-hmm. We'll need a really big one to get all eight of them in there.
With all eight heads sticking out.
That's right. Put them in a T-shirt, make them hug, and make them figure this out. Because I realize what they're doing, and I realize there's some nuance to it. But the headline, Mobile suing Mobile, does not read well across the rest of the country.
No, it doesn't. And we'll get into that in a second. But I do want to talk about this, because you said something to me when we were off air between shows today that got my attention. So everybody who is really fired up now that I have given a full-throated defense of our president,
mm-hmm.
right, which I believe I have here on the
yes.
shutdown, then get ready to get mad at me, because you brought something up that is driving me berserk. You said what showed up in your inbox today?
Yeah, so we've been talking about robocalls and how annoying those are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about a month or two before the midterms, I started getting a lot of texts from unnamed numbers, texts that I hadn't seen before from different area codes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was politicians asking for my money. Now, most of the politicians asking for my money, I didn't get any Democrats. So I'm on some Republican list mm-hmm. somewhere where mm-hmm. they've taken my number and all they do is send me messages. And I thought that would end after the midterm elections, but it has not ended. And today I got a message giving me a nice offer, and they wanted me to take them up on this offer. Hi. We're offering our exclusive Trump train Christmas ornament for our strongest supporters. Support Trump and House conservatives for yours now.
What you're saying is, if you don't buy this Christmas ornament for the Orwig Christmas tree, then your support for the president is somehow diminished.
Right. And they call me a strong supporter here. One of their strongest supporters. I believe I've ever given them a dime.
But they're pretty sure. So I get these emails multiple times a day, from the president,
mm-hmm. yeah,
from Ivanka.
Mike Pence sent me a text message the other day. He was asking for money.
So you get those. So the ornaments are a thing now. You can get the Trump?
The Trump train ornament. I don't know which train in particular, or if this is
just the general Trump train.
Okay.
You know, so it's not specific. It's not like 41 had the train there. You reported on taking mm-hmm. the body of the former president to College Station.
Right.
This is just the figurative, not literal Trump train.
I might Google it. I know they gave me a link in this text message, but I'm worried if I hit that link,
you
can
buy it.
Yeah, not buy it, but I'll be on more text message chains, and I'll just keep adding more and more to my plate.
See, I don't know if that one is, but the ones that come to my inbox are definitely from the Trump campaign.
I think mine are too, yeah.
And I don't, you know, I got to tell you, as much as I am positive about changes President Trump has made, he's got to leave me off the mailing list right now. Just got to leave me off the mailing list. When it comes to Christmas ideas, though, I would say this. This is the one thing they could market to me. You're talking about the Trump train ornament. Mm-hmm. Don't know that I want that. We already have the tree set and no room for the Trump train ornament. But maybe under the tree. And let me just point out that I think we were the progenitors of this in 2016. And know anybody else was talking about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now it seems to be, everybody's like, look at the new thing I found.
Right.
You point out in 2016 we found this. This would be the gift that keeps on giving. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Trumpy Bear.
Oh, great.
The wind whispered through the forest. A storm is coming. You cannot defeat the storm. From the trees rose a resounding voice. I fear nothing. I come when the trumpet sounds. I am the storm, the great American grizzly. Introducing the original Trumpy Bear, the fearless, super plush American grizzly. Trumpy Bear was born June 14th, Flag Day. Just find the secret zipper and pull out the flag blanket. Then wrap yourself in the red, white, and blue for comfort and warmth. Show your patriotism and proudly display Trumpy on Flag Day and on any American holiday. Trumpy can even honor your own family heroes.
God bless America, and God bless Trumpy Bear.
Trumpy Bear.
Trumpy Bear sits proudly at the front of the motorcycle for all the world to see.
There you go, motorcycle people.
With his brother.
I'm a former Marine, and I'm proud to have Trumpy Bear ride by my side.
By the way, side note, I didn't think there were former Marines. I think you're always, aren't you?
Always Marine, a Marine, that's
Marines,
right.
We have a high density of Marines here around the station. Could y'all, Marines, text me on my phone, let me know, but I always thought y'all are always Marines.
He might have just been reading a script.
Once a Marine, always a Marine.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Everyone knows Trumpy Bear loves to go to the golf course.
When I ride the Trumpy Bear, he makes my golf game great again. Thank you, Trumpy Bear.
There you
Simply
go.
Style his trademark hair and place him in his favorite chair. Even the toughest guys will love Trumpy Bear.
When America is great, business is great. When business is great, I am great. I love you, Trumpy Bear.
I am an Army veteran. I am proud to own the Trumpy Bear, and I will always be proud to be an American.
Order the Super Plus Trumpy Bear for only two payments of $19.95 and receive a special certificate of authenticity. Don't
compared to the fake Trumpy Bears
right.
that are flooding the market.
Birth certificate.
From China.
Miss out on owning a piece of American history. Order now for only two payments of $19.95. Trumpy, the most.
All right, there we go. So that is the official commercial for Trumpy Bear. Still available. Was back in 2016 when we started talking about still available. I actually Googled it, and Google actually let me search for something about President Trump.
Mm.
And Walmart's got it, I think, for the best price online.
Okay, Walmart
online.
Well, they are America's toy store now, they say.
So, there you go. I think that's probably why Toys R Us went under. They did not carry Trumpy Bear, but Walmart does carry Trumpy Bear.
Now, I wonder, did other presidents have marketing like this?
None. Now, they wish they did, but
no
they...
Clinton cigars or anything like that that you can get with their name on it?
I don't think... I mean, they have been offered, but I don't think directly from the presidential candidate. So, there you go. Trumpy Bear, available now for purchase. I would take Trumpy Bear. I just don't want the Trump train ornament. There's never been a president of the United States that I wanted to have them adorn my Christmas tree.
Nah, me neither. I think I'm all right without the train ornament.
So
now, if they would just figure that out and quit texting me about it.
Good point. All right, we'll shut that down and come right back. 12:30, Brendan Kirby joins us next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Quickly, let me run through this. So we'll hop on with our buddy Brendan Kirby in 1 second, but I promised, but I just got obsessed with the Trumpy Bear commercial that we aired. And yes, Marty, two payments in 1994 get you Trumpy Bear. And once again, let's keep... Since flag planting is so big in this format, I have to jump in on it and say, 2016, this show brought you Trumpy Bear. Now that everybody says, oh, this is a new thing. It's not a new thing. So 2016, but it's still highly amusing, especially when they have the Trumpy Bear riding on the motorcycle is one of my favorite parts of the commercial. But I did promise you quickly to run through some tweets for the folks that are at the Mobile City Council meeting, so let me just do this. And then when next hour, hopefully the cement is dry on this story, I can tell you a little bit more. But, you know, the amusement is, of course, you got the lawsuit from the administration towards the council, and the council going to do the same thing, and yet they're leaving on a retreat for the next couple of days. All right, so a few of the tweets I saw here, Steve Alexander from Fox 10 said, Councilman Small wants city council attorney to investigate if the city is operating legally if the 18-19 budget hasn't been signed. Also points out the mayor is not present at that meeting. Steve Alexander also tweets, Finance Director Wesch says, one budget anomaly is a shortage of $3,000 to $4,000 in one performance contract. Anomaly. I need to use these terms more. And maybe I bought an extra piece of fishing tackle, and you know, the missus looking at the bank statement saying, "It's an anomaly, honey. It's an anomaly. We're going to work. We're going to get somebody here to get an audit done on that. I'll get back to you on this." And they have. It looks like there's one of the questions. And looking through some of these tweets is this idea that. City Attorney, okay, Steve says here, City Attorney Ricardo Woods confirms mayor has not signed next year's budget, but has not vetoed it either. So this question of the budget being in limbo, is it actually valid? Like I said, it has been very interesting. They had that no camera, no mic session, executive meeting, then went out to the floor in front of all of us, right out to the forum, and they've been having a meeting as well. And as contentious as it is, we've been told that they're leaving to go on retreat. So three-legged races, s'mores, guitar songs, all that kind of good stuff. All right, speaking of good stuff, my buddy Brendan Kirby is joining us now, of course, author of Wicked Mobile, which if you want to get it in time for Christmas, time to get popping. Brendan, tell folks where they can get your book.
Yeah, I got a couple weeks left. You can get the book at local bookstores. If you want to go in person, you can get it online straight from the publisher at Arcadia Publishing, or you can get it at Amazon. I mean, lots of different ways.
All right, and I want to get a bunch of stories, but let's start off with what has been dominating the first half of this hour, and that is this discussion of a shutdown. And quite often in the past, maybe always in the past, politicians have taken, they've gone into political bunkers when it comes to a discussion of a shutdown. Nobody wants to be responsible for the discussion of the shutdown. They want to, you know, either hide from it, blame it on the other party or something to that effect. And here's President Trump less than an hour ago saying this.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay, absolutely. Fair enough.
And we disagree. Proud, and I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck.
Now, I don't know about for the national or the overall audience, but for Republicans and Trump voters in this country, that's why he got elected, right? That kind of talk.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the border wall is his most identifiable campaign promise. He's been frustrated that he hasn't been able to make any progress toward it, even though Republicans have controlled the House and the Senate for his entire tenure. And with the midterm results, Democrats are coming into the House next year, so he probably figures it's now or never.
Okay, it is now or never. I mean, there's never been a better time. This is the last chance. I said that when I first heard that, is that wasn't for Pelosi, that wasn't for Schumer, that was for the cameras and Republicans to hear.
Yeah, I think so, in his base, and he's trying to rally troops. I mean, the problem is, and this gets difficult for regular people to sort of follow, and the machinations of how government works and the wrinkles we have in our system, the fact is you don't really control the Senate unless you have 60 votes, because the minority party can filibuster as long as they can keep it under that 60 figure, and Republicans are not close to 60 votes.
So if you're calling Vegas, laying some hard-earned dollars on this, do you see something? I mean, either does he get green-lighted for funding the border wall, or do you expand some other part of the budget, like defense, and take the money out of there and use it for the wall? I mean, is there a kind of end around here, or is it straight up the middle? I mean, what do you think? What do you think happens?
Well, I mean, first of all, this is not really about money. A lot of government shutdowns are about money, and whether we have the money to do things. That's not what this is about. This is about the fact that this wall has become such a political symbol that Democrats, they're not opposing it because it costs too much money. Please, come on. They're opposing it, and by their own words. You know, I mean,
yes.
It's one thing. There are a lot of legitimate arguments against the wall. Mm-hmm. Is it really necessary? Will it be effective? Are there cheaper ways to secure the border than building a physical barrier? But that's, by and large, not what Democrats are arguing. They're arguing that it's racist. Nancy Pelosi said it's immoral. It's a moral issue, which is kind of strange, really, when you think about it. Since it wasn't that long ago that Congress voted to pass the Secure Fence Act, which included authorization to build 700 miles of double-layer fencing on the border, and Barack Obama voted for it, Joe Biden voted for it, Hillary Clinton voted for it. So I don't really understand how all of a sudden it became racist, since the Secure Fence Act was essentially the same thing. Now, Congress didn't follow through with the money in later years needed to actually build it, so they only built a portion of it. But in places where that wall was built, border crossings plummeted dramatically. I mean, walls work. I mean, if they didn't work, they wouldn't be building them all over the world.
So this comes down to not an issue, but it does. The block would happen in the House with the purse strings, right? I mean, that. So he's got to figure out a way to fund it, even though it's not over money. It is over money.
Well, I mean, it's over money, but it's not over
Right, we don't have enough.
The opposition is
that's
not
never stopped the United States.
By cost concerns. Right. You know, even though Democrats say that.
You're talking about Congressman. Yeah, of course it doesn't. Right. Yeah, the actual, you know, balancing budgets and not spending more money than we have, that never entered in the equation. But that's how they would, even though it's an idealistic stop, that's how they would move to stop this, right? No
yeah,
money,
well, I mean,
no wall.
Congress has to appropriate the money to build it. You know, so, I mean, obviously, if they don't appropriate the money to build it, you can't build it. I mean, that's where Congress retains that. All I'm saying is, it's not like you know, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are putting on their green eye shades and saying, "Yeah, we really can't afford this." I mean, we got this big deficit, and you know, or that they would prefer the money to, you know, to spend the money someplace else. I mean, they would prefer to spend the money someplace else. But if you just look at their own language, they're saying this is a moral issue. It's immoral to build the wall, and that tells me that if the government ferry came down and dropped $25 billion. You know, if the Mexican government sent $25 billion to Washington to say, "Here, build this wall," you know, the Democrats in Congress still wouldn't want to do it because they consider it, you know, it's in the era of Trump, because Trump has made it such a big issue, and they're reacting to that. They consider it this immoral system. And again, I mean, that to me is strange. I mean, you have to start with the premise: does the nation get to control its own borders and decide who comes and who goes? And is it moral to let some people come in and block others from coming in, which is our immigration law? And if you say yes to those questions, then, you know, it's reasonable to talk about the wall or border agents or, you know, ICE agents and their immigration system. You know, they're all tools toward, in you know, enforcing that paradigm. So, you know, what it seems like they're really saying is, I mean, I just don't understand what is immoral about having a wall as opposed to, you know, thousands of Border Patrol agents patrolling the border. It doesn't really make sense to me.
Is it the object or the outcome, basically?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the simple. I mean, if Trump had not been elected president, this wasn't such a big thing, and President Hillary Clinton, you know, decided she wanted money to build physical barriers on the wall, I mean, this wouldn't even be controversial. I mean, as I said, this is stuff that very liberal members of Congress not that long ago voted in favor of. You know, I don't know if there's a difference between a wall or a fence. You know, if you look at the fencing on the border, it looks pretty wall-like in certain places. It's tall, it's strong, it's, you know, there's double layers, so if you get over one, there's another barrier to go for. So, you know, it's just Trump. I mean, the only thing I can think of that explains it is Trump. It's just a reaction to Trump.
And so your bet, though, is lame duck, they don't get anything done on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the chances of a shutdown are higher than ever because, you know, the incentives for Trump to pull... to pull short, are less than they were when his party had unified control. And, you know, a shutdown last year would have looked very bad because of the total control of government. And, you know, a shutdown now, you know, looks less bad. And Trump figures, you know, even if we look bad, you know, with it, I'm not going to get a better deal next year when Nancy Pelosi is Speaker of the House. So the incentives are there for Trump to do it. So we'll probably have a shutdown, or at least there's a good chance we will. I don't think he's really going to get much on it. You know, the history of these things are that Republicans tend to get blamed for it, and the pressure will mount, and you know, they'll probably look for some way to throw him a bone, something along the lines of what Chuck Schumer has already offered, that you know, have the $1.6 billion appropriation, you know, for the wall, except that's not really for new construction. So
right, and it's a trap. So it's a trap. I mean, if it's not enough to do the wall, then Democrats can say, look, we've been working across the aisle, but they're not getting this done. So
yeah, I mean, that would just be the out. I mean, and the other thing, too, is, you know, a lot of times conservatives hear these things. They're like, well, yeah, shut it down, we'll save money. You know, it's a better off if there's non-essential workers, never can work. But
they always get their money.
They cost more money. They end up costing taxpayers more money because when the government workers come back to work, they get all their back pay and they get extra pay. I mean, it's perversely, when you have these shutdowns, Not only doesn't it save you money, but in the long run, it actually is costlier to have these. And there's no reason to think that Congress wouldn't give those workers their back pay back, this time. They always have.
All right. And speaking of just stalwart opposition to things because they're connected to President Trump, Kavanaugh makes news, brand new, the new kid on the Supreme Court, making news. What's the full story? We'll talk about it with Brendan Kirby when we come back. Plus, he has a whole piece up on his website you can read, KirbyOnPolitics.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Reminder, coming up next hour, it's your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest second Tuesday every month, if my calendar's right, second Tuesday. So sheriff will be in here next hour. Got questions for the sheriff? Go ahead and text him in. Get him ready on the phone line. Either way, we'll talk to you next hour. Continue our conversation with Brendan Kirby, author of Wicked Mobile, also the host, the name brand, and I guess the CEO, CFO, and a lot more over at Kirby on Politics. And you've taken on exactly, I texted you this morning about what I wanted to talk about, and you had blogged about the same exact subject we were talking about, that all the opposition, the pre-Blasey Ford arguments against Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court were based, 90% of them on a discussion of abortion?
Yeah, I mean, that is the issue that for probably the majority of voters, that's all they really pay attention to at the Supreme Court is abortion, which is kind of funny because it's a tiny, tiny part of what the Supreme Court does. But that's sort of a different issue. But yeah, I mean, as soon as Anthony Kennedy announced he was retiring, Jeffrey Toobin, the CNN legal analyst, tweeted out that, abortion is going to be legal in the 20 states in 18 months. He didn't even know who the nominee was going to be. and then said something similar after the Senate confirmed him. And it's just foregone conclusion. You know, all these people just, this Roe v. Wade is going to go away very soon. I was always very suspicious of that idea because if you've looked at the way John Roberts has run the court for the last 13 years since he's been the Chief Justice, he believes in incrementalism, he believes in caution, he tends to try to avoid needlessly weighing into really hot political issues where there's going to be a 5-4 division. He looks for consensus whenever possible. He's definitely a conservative, and he definitely, the conservative wing of the court has moved the law in a more conservative originalist direction, but it's much different than if we had 5 Clarence Thomases on the bench, and we don't.
You write this, although liberals dismissed it as an artful deception, Kavanaugh said repeatedly during his Senate confirmation hearing that he respects precedent. How does that play into this?
Well, the case we're talking about here is it doesn't deal with Roe v. Wade directly. But if you remember when that undercover video, the series of undercover videos came out in 2015 showing Planned Parenthood executives, talking about selling the body parts of aborted fetuses to research labs. Mm-hmm. Remember there was that
disgusting,
one
yes.
iconic image of the woman, they were clinking the wine glass
yes.
talking about it. And
yeah.
it horrified a lot of people, and it moved a lot of states to try to cut off funding to Planned Parenthood for non-abortion services. You already can't use taxpayer money for abortion, but a lot of in a lot of states, women on Medicaid will go to Planned Parenthood for other services, and then the state Medicaid agency reimburses Planned Parenthood as they would any other provider. So a bunch of states said, no, we're not going to let you participate in that because we're horrified by this. And that prompted lawsuits from patients saying that you can't do this. You can't tell me, who I can go to and who I can't. And a bunch of courts have ruled, yes, you're right. And they said, all you states that tried to do this, you can't actually do that. And so then these appeals are bubbling up, and there were appeals coming to the Supreme Court from Louisiana and Kansas, two states that had tried to do this. And the justices only take the cases they want to hear. And this is one of the ones they considered, and they voted yesterday that they weren't going to hear these cases. They were just going to let the lower court ruling stand. And it prompted a dissent from three of the justices. It was written by Clarence Thomas and joined by Neil Gorsuch and Samuel Alito. And they said that the court should have taken this case and resolved this issue, which means that the chief, Roberts, and the new justice, Brett Kavanaugh, voted with the other justices not to hear it. Now, what that tells me is, even though this would not have resulted in a ruling on Roe, likely, because it dealt with this other issue, it shows me they don't want to take anything that has to do with abortion. And so, one day, will the Supreme Court, years from now, overturn Roe versus Wade? It certainly is possible, but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen in the 18-month time frame that Jeff Cuban said was going to happen.
No, and it's interesting, too, that Gorsuch didn't have the pushback, the discussion of overturning Roe like Kavanaugh did, but it turns out that Gorsuch is the one to side with Justice Thomas, right? I mean, this is not Kavanaugh.
And I think part of that was the fact that he was replacing Scalia.
But how much responsibility of that do you have versus how much responsibility to whatever you think the rule of law is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for the individual justice, they've got nothing. They owe nothing to their predecessor. I'm just the politics of it. Democrats and liberals were very much against Gorsuch's nomination, and they tried to defeat it. In the end, because he was replacing it, it didn't change the ideological balance of the court. He was just replacing Scalia. So it was assumed that he was going to vote more or less the way Scalia did, and things would be kind of the same. The Kennedy retirement was different because he was the swing voter on the court. So everyone was on the left was very much afraid that Kavanaugh would come and radically shift the court to the right. And I think it's fair to say, although we don't know, because he's only actually been a justice for a few months now, but I think it's fair to say he will probably be more reliably with the conservative bloc of the court than Kennedy was. But again, the point Jeff Cuban made was, look, when a state bans abortion, that's going to come to the Supreme Court, and they can't split the baby on that. They're either going to have to uphold Roe or overturn it, and they're going to overturn it. But there is a third option, which we saw, with these Planned Parenthood cases. The court might just not take it.
We're going to run out of time.
You can avoid ruling on that if you just don't take the case.
We've got a minute left here. That's it. But it also, in reading some of the stories that came out this morning, it seemed like it was more of a discussion of what Medicaid can do and not do versus it wasn't a straight Roe case.
Right. Yeah, it was not about Roe. And this is the point Clarence Thomas made in his dissent. He flat out said he thinks that the reason they didn't take it was because Planned Parenthood was one of the parties in the case. And he was saying we need to resolve this because there's a split in the circuits. Some circuits have ruled one way and some circuits have ruled the other. And that's generally what the Supreme Court looks for when they got to resolve a case. And he said this is really about, do people have the right to sue their state if their state places qualifications on medical providers? And he said, there's lots of potential litigation that could come from this that have nothing to do with abortion. If a state decides it wants to declare a certain doctor as not qualified for whatever reason, and the doctor's Medicaid patient objects to that, can he sue and prevent the state from removing the doctor from the list of qualified providers? So it's a bigger and different issue than just Roe. My point is, I think I kind of agree with Clarence Thomas. I think the fact that they didn't take it is because it involved Planned Parenthood and abortion. And if they're not willing to take something that affects abortion in an ancillary way, what are the chances they're going to want to take a case that could overturn Roe? I just don't think that they're going to do that. At least not yet. And if 5 years, 10 years from now, maybe they will. I don't think we're going to see it soon.
There he is, Brendan Kirby. A big thank you. We'll be right back.